After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. People listening overseas. People listening in other countries. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, thank you for tuning in. The show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can hit rewind. You can hit pause. You can do whatever you want on the Odyssey app. Thank you to folks listening live and local on their local CBS Sports Radio affiliates. We got tons of people listening on SiriusXM channel 158. And if you got yourself a smart speaker, all you got to do is ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. And boom, the JR Sport Brief Show, it pops right on up. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. And we have had a busy, busy show. Right before we went to break, we talked about all the action in the college basketball conference tourneys. Like right now in front of me, one of the screens here in the studio, North Carolina State is trying to hold off and eliminate Duke. About 30 seconds left in the game. North Carolina State leads Duke 71-66. If you're a college basketball fan, this is the most wonderful time of the year. And no, it's not December. It's the middle of March. By the time we get to Sunday, it'll be Selection Sunday. We'll know the brackets in both the men and the women's side. And then we actually get to the games. And workplace productivity will go down throughout the course of the week. Or maybe it'll be just fine, especially the fact that, hey, I still think there's a good majority of people all over the place who might and maybe work at home. I think there's going to be a lot of folks who take a day to work from home. Hickey, don't we have a fancy name for that right now? Work from home. What do they call that? Remote? Is that what it is?
Remote, or if you want to do the acronym WFH.
Ah, work from home. Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of that throughout the course of the week. 855-212-4CBS is the number. It's 855-212-4CBS. We've had so much movement today that continues on in the NFL. Devin White is going to be moving on from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's going to be playing linebacker now for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles introduced Saquon Barkley today as their latest running back. Derrick Henry was introduced today to the Baltimore Ravens. Just the world continues to go on. A matter of fact, let's listen to a few of the individuals who were introduced today. Let's start off with Saquon Barkley. I think it has a little bit more juice to it, being the fact that he left the New York Giants of the NFC East to join the Eagles, a rival of the Giants in the NFC East. And Saquon Barkley, ever the gentleman, sat down today, gave his press conference, and told everybody, hey, you know what, I'm always going to love the Giant fans. Hey, thank you. I appreciate you. But then, you know, he also went a step further and just talked about, well, some of these tampering issues. And he's just like, oh, you didn't know? There was a report that he had contact with the Philadelphia Eagles before he was supposed to. And he's just like, no, that don't have anything to do with me. Take a listen to what Saquon said.
Coach Franken, I think, kind of misinterpreted. The truth was the sell pitch to Penn State, how many Penn State fans are Philadelphia Eagles fans. But that was through my agent, and my agent told me that. So, you know, it happened, and I'm let the Philly in on that.
This man didn't stop there in trying to defend himself, or at least the team, from tampering. If the Eagles are caught to have tampered, well, they're probably going to lose a draft pick here. That's the bad news. The good news, Saquon said he's thrilled to be a member of the Eagles.
Yeah, when it came to my attention, you know, that the Eagles were one of the teams that were interested in me, you know, I definitely got excited about it. Obviously, you know, we got everything wrapped up and you know, just put, you know, my signature to the paper. But from being a watching from afar, everything that they're about, you know, the culture here, the fans here, definitely got super excited about it. And I'm just happy to be a part of this organization. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, this is the time of year where everybody's excited. Saquon's excited to be an Eagle. Something about the birds, right? You know, we heard from Kirk Cousins. Kirk is excited to be a Falcon, and Saquon is excited to be an Eagle. And then we got another bird with the Ravens. Derrick Henry, let's listen to him earlier today. Derrick Henry's like, yeah, I'm a Baltimore Raven. I'm happy to be here.
Buckle your chin strap. Get ready for a 60-minute fight. And knowing that you know, you're going to take some licks, I'm going to have to give some licks. And every time we played them, it was physical. And, you know, we had to have a great game plan to prepare for these guys, especially on defense, because they give you so many different looks. And then our defense getting ready for Lamar and how you got a game plan against him. So I'm definitely glad to be on the other side now.
Well, tell me more, Derrick Henry. You're going to be playing with Lamar Jackson. So how the hell are you going to work that out?
You know, he's one of the best, if not the best, players in this league. You know, I have respect for him ever since he's came in this league, and his body of work and what he's been able to do, and respect for this organization as well. They have some great players in organization, just like Lamar, who's done a lot of great things. Mark Andrews at tight end, Raquan Smith at the linebacker position, some great leaders, guys who set a good example. So excited to be teammates with everybody, and excited to get in the RB room and get to know those guys and be able to compete against them, and all of us make each other better.
Yeah, it should be fun. He should be excited. He's playing with Lamar Jackson, right? They're just going to run the football down everybody's throat. And then by the time they get to the postseason, we have to hope that they can legitimately throw the ball if they happen to be behind. Outside of that, just run the football, okay? Please do that, especially in the postseason, unless you're behind, and then you're going to have to go out there and throw it. You heard Derrick Henry say he's looking forward to playing with all of his teammates. Well, is Deebo Samuel going to be one of his teammates? Jason Lockenfora covers the Ravens and NFL here on CBS Sports, CBS Sports Radio, and on Baltimore 105.7. He's talked about rumors where the Ravens have engaged the 49ers to bring in Deebo Samuel. Well, Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens today, said, no, we're not doing that. Listen to this.
You know, that specific report was probably, I read the Lorax last week at a local elementary school. And I would probably put that report that similar to that.
It's make-believe. It's all make-believe. It's all make-believe. It's all a Dr. Seuss story. Let's see if Deebo Samuel does get moved. I don't think so. We'll see. Just doesn't make sense to me unless they got some beef and they got to figure things out with Brandon Ayuk and his contract and what have you. Speaking of contracts, also today we learned that Dan Campbell, old gambling Dan Campbell, I wonder if Dan Campbell is filling out a bracket. I'm sure he is. Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, the general manager of the Detroit Lions, they got contract extensions that will take them through 2027. This is what happens when you go to an NFC championship game. I mean, damn it, if they would have won the Super Bowl, them contract extensions would have been big time. But I guess if you're the Detroit Lions, you want to go ahead and crawl before you walk. Nothing is easy here. Nothing is handed to you. And so we've had a busy, busy day. And then also, trades. How about this? Desmond Ridder, no longer a member of the Falcons. This man has been traded to the Arizona Cardinals for Rondale Moore. And so in exchange, the Falcons get back another wide receiver to potentially pair with Drake London. And Desmond Ridder gets to hold and carry a clipboard behind Kyler Murray. Another starter who's moving on. Sam Howell, no longer a member of the Washington Commanders. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Sam Howell is gone as well. Sam Howell has been moved on. He has to move cross-country to Seattle. He's going to be a member of the Seattle Seahawks. And it's just, it's really a reminder of how much the NFL has changed. If you don't perform, if you're not up to snuff, Nobody has any patience. Nobody is waiting for you. You're gone. That's it. And I don't think the fan bases care. I remember being up in D.C. and being in Washington last year. They asked me about Sam Howell. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't think we got enough of a sample size to proclaim him the guy. And now he's just gone. They have the number two overall pick. They're going to have their pick of the litter, presumably outside of Caleb Williams, as to who they want to bring in. And they're like, hey, we don't want Sam anymore. Dan Quinn is in, and Dan Quinn is like, hey, I'm going to get me a new quarterback, and then we're just going to move along with our lives. That's it. And this is the way the league is. Draft a QB, have him on a rookie deal, try to pay all the other pieces around the quarterback, the big money, and try to have success that way before you got to pay him $55 million like a Joe Burrow. So odd. Well, I guess there's irony there. That the Cincinnati Bengals, who year after year after year, from the players themselves, talk about how cheap the Bengals organization is, charging for water, not providing them three meals a day every day, that they're paying this man, Joe Burrow, more money on an average basis, an annual average basis, than anybody else in the league at $55 million per. And then you take a look at somebody like Brock Purdy, who's happy to, quote unquote, scratch by with only $1 million a year, give or take, and he's helping his squad go to the Super Bowl. NFL is a wild, wild place, and the quarterbacks are here too. There's nobody getting stashed on a roster in hopes that you can grow, learn, and develop. Those days are over. North Carolina State just knocked Duke out of the ACC tournament. No guaranteed bid coming for Duke via the tournament, at least, or at least by winning the conference tournament. North Carolina State, the Wolfpack, getting ready to move on. And speaking of the tournament, I mentioned this in the prior break. There are already conversations about expanding March Madness, adding another, I don't know, eight teams. They want to potentially put 70-plus teams here in March Madness. I'm not a fan. One report that we did get today is that there could be an expansion. There's expected to be an expansion of the college football playoff. We just finished up with four teams in the playoff, okay? This upcoming season, later on this year, we're moving to 12 teams in the college football playoff. And now there are reports that 2 years from now, we will automatically move from 12 to 14 teams, and all of the teams, all of the conferences are expected to agree to this. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute here. Why? Why do we need more teams? I get it. Everything boils down to money. But this is almost a dilution of the product. I mean, look, we can look at this past season and Georgia goes through the year and Alabama stinks at the beginning. Alabama turns things around. Alabama knocks off Georgia. Georgia's like, hey, kick rocks, you're no longer here in the tournament. I can understand that. Teams that are kind of on the line. But when you expand to 14 teams, how many teams legitimately have a shot at winning a national championship? I still think there's probably no more than three or four when you get to the end of December that have a chance to win it all. Why do we have an additional 10 teams in here just to watch a squad or a couple of teams get blown out? And yeah, we'll have some surprises, but this is football. I'm not expecting a Cinderella run by a team out of a field of 64. I don't expect that to happen. I think the college football playoff is, I don't want to say a waste of time, but it's an immediate moneymaker that I don't think adds to the legitimacy of the game. If you want to go ahead and expand already to 12, then so be it. I already think that's way too many. But now you want to move things forward to 14 teams? And so what is this, the beginning? What do we got to wait, another 10 years and they're going to expand it again? I'm not a fan. The regular season has lost some oomph. Conference championship games have lost some oomph. And now we're going to have a 14-team playoff as soon as 2026. That's two seasons from now. We haven't even played the new adjusted college football playoff. Hickey, your thoughts, man.
So I like expanding to 12. I think 12 is the perfect number, actually. Because when you talk about giving teams a chance to compete, I think that's what an expanded playoff is. You may not change, and you probably won't change who wins a national championship, but I do think it's important to just give teams the opportunity to compete. But also, like in a 12-team format, you still make every game important because of the different, you know, in a 12-team format, the top four teams have a bye. You can only get the bye if you win the conference championship game. So, like, let's just say the 12-team playoff was here last year, Georgia, even though they are in the playoff no matter what, in a 12-team format last year when you go 12-0 in the regular season, that game to them against Alabama is still important because if they lose that game, they don't get a first-round bye. Instead, they're playing on, let's call it wild card weekend, for lack of a better term right now, instead of getting a pass to the divisional round. So you have like incentives like that throughout the format that still make every game important. Even though there are certain teams, you know, that win or lose, they're still in, their path either gets easier or harder depending on if they win or lose, so that game still matters. 14 teams, there's been talk about, you know, automatic qualifiers, which is just a horrendous idea. But now 14 teams, you change the format, now games don't mean as much anymore. I think anything more than 12 is a mistake.
I don't want to watch games, quote-unquote, that I have a good idea what the outcome is going to be. You know, I don't want to see teams, quote unquote, getting a pass. Go out there and play. I'm also very interested in how they construct the calendar to hold all of these games. Are we now eating more into, you know, some of the bowl games? We would absolutely have to get this to fit. And then you think about the time frame and the structure. There's going to have to be calendar adjustments. And I get it. The SEC and the Big Ten, they're basically moving the needle, and they're going to be making a crap ton of cash in the process, and everybody else pretty much has to go out there and follow suit. But just as a sports fan, forget the business element of it. I understand the business side. As a sports fan, you're asking me to just watch, I don't know. Hickey, help me out here. I'm trying to think of
like,
what's
I mean, I think like last year, LSU was like the 13th team. So I know they're, you know, right at, but like you could get, I guess, like LSU, Georgia in week one.
Yeah, that's great.
Penn State versus Alabama.
But in the reality, do you think that we're going to get teams that are going to just go on these magical runs? Like, I don't think it works the same way. Look, there's any given Sunday, but I think there comes a point in time in football, it doesn't work that way. I think typically in most cases, the cream rises to the top, especially if they have more talent. Like, yeah, that's going to be a good matchup and a good game. It's going to get a lot of juice. But I think as we go through the tournament, it's just like, hey, you're serving me up games and matchups where there's going to be a clear-cut favorite. I just don't think it works the same way. You have the same anticipation when you have such an expanded field. I'm not in favor, but hell, I'm not getting a piece of the pie. We know the conferences are. Television distributors will be happy. Everybody who puts college football on. But just for the fans and for the overall tournament, I think it's nothing but a money grab. But what else is new? Everything is a money grab. It's the JR Sport Re Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of a money grab, speaking of something that has a little life and legacy to it, you know, a few minutes ago we heard from Saquon Barkley at his introductory press conference. Well, Saquon Barkley sat down with the Pivot podcast. Ryan Clark had some words for Tiki Barber, and then Tiki had some words for Ryan Clark. Why can't we all just get along? We're going to hear from it all and hear from them. It's the JR Sport Re Show on CBS Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Why can't we all just get along? Why? That was a tweet that I actually put out last week, a couple days ago, end of the weekend. When Tiki Barber was, you know, making jokes tongue-in-cheek about Saquon being dead to him, Giants fans and fan base for joining the Eagles. Saquon Barkley is like, hey, man, let's relax. You've always been a hater since I got to the Giants. Don't come talking to me, you know, when you see me in person. Don't do that. And Tiki is just like, it was tongue-in-cheek, man. It's just not that serious. Well, this continues to go on. Because Saquon responded and talked about Tiki, who's one to talk about being a teammate and leaving your squad and what have you. And I thought it was put to bed. Thought it was. Until Ryan Clark, also former NFL player, former defensive back. Ryan Clark, we know, is on ESPN and has his podcast, The Pivot. Ryan Clark took the opportunity to talk about Tiki and Tiki being a bad teammate. When he was with the New York Giants, listen to Ryan Clark.
Tiki taught me what I didn't want to be as a veteran. Tiki taught me how you don't make a young player feel welcome, how you don't make a young player feel like this could one day be his team. The way he made me feel as a young rookie and a second-year player, I said, I don't ever want to be that dude. And he's continued to be that person. Like you said, he left football early, fully expecting to be on the Michael Strahan experience. But you weren't that dude. You also weren't liked and beloved like Saquon Barkley is. You weren't that sort of teammate that everybody rallied around last year. And here's what I do know. I know when I have a relationship with you, when I can joke. Mm-hmm. I know when I can tell one of the homies or some young man I mentor, or a dude I'm tight with, hey man, you're dead to me, because he knows he's never gonna be that. No. He knows the relationship that we've developed is way beyond the jersey that he wears. And don't try to backtrack it once you say it. Don't try to ingratiate yourself to the New York Giants fans who may feel the same way, who you said you're echoing, and then say it's tongue in cheek. Nah, stand on it. And when he calls you out, stand on it. And the one thing people like him taught me when I was in that Giants locker room is I'm going to have parties for the rookies when there's nowhere to go on the week they're trying to figure out if they're on the team or not. I'm going to host Bible study. I'm going to make sure you ain't using all your money at rookie parties. I'm going to make you feel like, well, you the OG, that that's the way it's supposed to be done. And he never did that, at least as what I could see and the way he was to me as a player. And he's continuing to act the same sort of way in the media. And it's a reason people feel the way that he does, and nobody wraps their arms around him as a former player.
Oh. Ah. I know Tiki. I know Tiki personally. It's everybody getting at Tiki right now for Tiki's comments. I understand tongue-in-cheek. It's tongue-in-cheek. Trust me, tongue-in-cheek doesn't always come across as tongue-in-cheek. But the fact is, Tiki is on WFAN New York City every day. He has an opportunity to go ahead and respond when he feels appropriate, because he's on in the afternoons in New York City with Evan Roberts. And so Tiki responded to Ryan Clark's comments about, hey, I learned what not to be from Tiki. Well, what did Tiki say? Listen to this.
Wow, Ryan Clark, you are making blank up, because you don't know me like that, dude. What is he talking about? I didn't embrace young players. Ask Brandon Jacobs if I embraced him. Now that he's the bigwig at ESPN, he thinks he can just take shots and his word is gospel? He's making a story that fits his agenda. And he doesn't know me well enough to talk about me. So shut the hell up, Ryan Clark. Please. You sound like a fool. If you think it's cool and trendy to make me the bad guy because it makes you cooler and trendier, by all means, Shoot away, Ryan. He's uninformed. He doesn't know me that. He doesn't know me like that. Mm. Don't talk about me like that, because you don't know me like that. You don't know my relationships with my team, my former teammates, the organization. But you act like you know. You speak in a nice, calm, controlled way and give this like perfect troll job, not even troll job, but kill job of me. And it's not true. It's an opportunistic shot that he's taking because he thinks that he's going to gain advantage by being a jackass to me. Congratulations, Ryan. Good luck in your career as well.
Wow. So Hickey, Mike Tyson is going to fight. Which one is it? It's Jake Paul, right?
Jake, yes.
I know they need an undercard. Tiki and Ryan, I guess, no?
I'm interested. I think Ryan's younger, so I'm a little worried there for Tiki that just the age alone might get him, but I am here for it. Tiki sounded like he was suppressing a lot of anger, and I think if he carries that, when is that fight, in like July or April?
It's June, right?
June, my apologies. June. He carries that for another 3 months. Maybe that he can, you know, that suppressed anger can come out and make up for the age gap.
Oh, well, I mean, Tiki's built like a truck. He's still in good shape, huh?
Oh, no, he is. He is. But you would think younger man, faster hands, right?
Oh, so in that case, by the way, the fight, the Jake Paul Tyson thing is July 20th. Are you telling me that you're going with, and I think we did this, you're going with the younger Jake Paul in this nonsense fight?
I mean, I'm going to go with Mike Tyson. I'm not going to say to, like, I have a tough time separating who I think will win versus who I want to win. I want Mike Tyson to win. Therefore, I'll sit here and tell you he's going to win.
There's just going to be some controversy. So I'm not going to say somebody's ear is going to get bitten off or something's going to happen. Somebody will slip on an ad on the mat. A guy will fall through the ropes. The referee will do something. Some idiot will run into the, like, this is not going to go through without controversy.
And will if it be a draw?
If it, you know, maybe, are they going to even claim or call a winner in this? I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
This is an exhibition, right? Are we going to have a winner or a loser?
I mean, the last time Mike Tyson fought, it was a draw, right? Against, was it Roy Jones Jr.?
I think he won against, I don't remember.
It was a draw. We played the audio. Roy Jones, like, I'm not really happy with the draw. But then later he goes, yeah, I took a lot of punches. I'm happy with the draw. I'm pretty sure they declared it a tie.
Oh, we know that Mike Tyson was, he was in there beating up on Roy, okay? And I know Roy, too, but he'd beaten up on Roy. Roy would probably dispute that fact, but he was beaten up on Roy. I think we might have room on the undercard. Let's get Tiki and Ryan Clark at it, and I guess they can win it. Dallas Cowboys Stadium, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe they're holding this in Saudi Arabia. That's Saudi Arabia throws money at everything right now. But, yeah. Did you see Mike Tyson, the new training video, by the way?
No, he released one.
There's the new training video of Mike Tyson.
Oh, I got to look this up.
Still looks to be in good shape. I don't know. It's a nice spectacle for everybody to watch on July 20th. It's the middle of the summertime, and, hey, just everybody will pop one. Marco, you can't wait, right? Can't wait?
Oh, yeah, pins and needles. Pins and needles.
Can't wait. July 20th. What else are you going to be doing instead, Marco? Nothing, right?
I think I can find something. I think I can find something. Hey. Although you put Tiki and Ryan Clark on the undercard, now I'm in.
Hey, I'll be an advocate for that. I'm going to talk to Tiki and see if he let me be his, what can I do? Be his corner man? What am I going to do? Nothing, right?
I don't know, but if that fight happens, I'll find my way there. I'll be with the pom-poms in the corner rooting for Tiki.
Okay. So, you're going to go to Jerry's World,
if
right?
Tiki's fighting in that fight with Ryan Clark, you know what? For Tiki, I'd be in the corner. He wouldn't even care, but I'd be in the corner.
Hickey, Hickey's not jumping on. He doesn't want to be a part of the bandwagon. No,
I not to brag. I think I'm a pretty good hype man.
Oh,
I can
okay.
get a lot of juice behind Tiki and really get the crowd going for him.
The crowd, like 100,000 people in Cowboys Stadium.
I mean, they're mostly Cowboys fans. Maybe difficult, but again, I would like to challenge my hype man abilities.
Okay,
I think it's pretty good.
I like your confidence, Hickey. It's good. Like
you can join me, you little co-hype man.
No. I said corner man. I'll be corner. You could be hype.
Okay.
Can, We can get you some Don King hair and a denim jacket and a flag, and you can help promote the fight.
Perfect.
You already got the glasses down, Pac, so I think you'd be straight.
Bad news, I broke those.
Wait, you're not wearing glasses right now?
No. Those blue lights, unfortunately, have seen better days.
Can you see? You got on contacts? Like, are you blind?
They're blue light glasses. They're all for precaution.
That's not prescription there, JR.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
Hickey was wearing glasses just for the screens?
No.
Yes.
No, they're blue lights to help, you know. I'm not wearing fake glasses for style. No, that's a thing. That's not me. They're blue lights. They are meant for, you know, to prevent my eyes from going 50 years from now.
Were you straining your eyes in front of a screen or so? Like, what?
I feel like we're always on a screen. So I figured, like, preventative.
You're going to get new glasses now.
Yes, I've not gotten around to it. It's been a few. I will say, I've wore them for like 2 years, and now I haven't for like 2 months.
Okay.
I thought I would notice a difference, like more headaches, my eyes hurting.
No, none.
I hate to say, because people have called out the legitimacy of blue light glasses. I do not feel any different now in the 2 months without wearing them.
Hey, you never know in 50 years.
You know what? Maybe just 49 years now, just good eyesight. There goes year 50.
Listen, but in 50 years from now, they'll be able to point something in your eyes and you'll be able to see the future. So I wouldn't worry about your eyesight too much. I saw you 2 weeks ago. You had on glasses, right?
No glasses then.
You didn't have on glasses when I saw you?
No, sir.
Maybe I need glasses. I'm the one who came to New York and got sick. So
I was going to say, maybe your voice all of a sudden just impacted your eyesight as well.
It's possible. I mean, with all the crazy things going on in the world, anything is possible, right? Isn't that what Kevin Garnett said?
With a little more energy.
Yeah, anything is possible. I want to keep my voice, so I won't scream that out.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Show's almost done. It's sad. Been a busy show. Conference championship games in college ball. We just played you some audio, a little beef between Ryan Clark and Tiki Barber. We heard from Saquon Barkley at his introductory press conference. Same thing with Derrick Henry as he joins the Ravens. Just a lot. Devin White, no longer linebacker for the Buccaneers. He's going to be linebacker for the Eagles. And then we've had some other news, and thank you to Dr. David Chow for coming through to talk to us about some injuries. There have been some quarterbacks in the news today, and not just Kirk Cousins, not just Sam Howell being traded out to Seattle as a backup. He'll be a backup. Not just Desmond Ridder being traded from Atlanta to the Cardinals. He's going to be a backup to Kyler Murray. Talked about Dan Campbell and his extension, new contract, good for him. There's some unfortunate stories. I don't know if you've heard this, but Dallas police are investigating Dak Prescott for an alleged 2017 sexual assault in the back of an SUV. Now, Dak Prescott says, or he's actually filed his own suit, saying that he's being extorted for $100 million by the woman and her attorneys. If you know anything about the Dallas Cowboys right now, they're pretty much in between a rock and a hard place when it comes to Dak Prescott and his next contract, which I would assume is going to pass $40 million, the $40 million that he's getting right now. There was a point in time where he was the second highest paid quarterback in the entire game behind Mahomes, who's making $45 million. And so what does this mean for Dak Prescott? What does this mean for his contract? What does this mean moving forward? Well, Stephen Jones had some quick thoughts about this yesterday. He says the allegations ain't going to change too much about his contract.
We visited with Dak about that, and certainly a legal matter, so something we can't comment on.
Legal matter, something we can't comment on. It's currently not going to have any bearing or fruit. Okay. It is a legal matter. We all have to wait and see what happens. Also, we'll talk about a quarterback involved in controversy, someone not shy about it. I know, Hickey, we discussed the other day, RFK Jr. is entertaining and just pretty much for just not political purposes, but attention purposes, entertaining Aaron Rodgers as his vice presidential partner. And then we also were reminded via the internet, because this is what the internet does, that there were now comments that, hey, how can Aaron Rodgers be this and that when this is someone who is a denier of Sandy Hook, which unfortunately was a massacre of children. It's crazy the world that we live in, and Aaron Rodgers had to go ahead and release a statement saying that this is not the case, this is not true, and I've never said such a thing. And so, hey, we got quarterbacks who are just in the news for unfortunate reasons and having to speak out for unfortunate reasons. But you know what? Let's actually let's get to things on a high note. Because in this day in sports, as we start to conclude this show, on this day in sports, March 14th, the year 2006, Drew Brees became a member of the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees signed with the Saints. There was a flirtation with the Miami Dolphins. We know that the Chargers didn't trust his shoulder. And Drew Brees, well, he just became a legend, not only for New Orleans, but for Louisiana. Take a listen to this. This is from all my good folks at WWL reporting Drew Brees signing with the Saints. Let's take us back to 2006.
This easygoing quarterback will fit right in with the Big Easy.
Emma wrote me a little note that said if I became a New Orleans Saint, that he'd cook my first meal here. So, Emerald, if you're watching, listening, I'll be expecting that here pretty soon.
Drew may have a say on the restaurants, but the big stuff, like where to live, will be left up to his wife, Brittany.
Anything that I like and she vetoes, we definitely won't be getting. But, you know, anything she likes and I veto, we might still be getting. So.
And look for New Orleans' newest couple to be seen outside of the football arena. While Drew helps rebuild the Saints, Drew and Brittany will help rebuild their new city.
When we came here, it was such a warmth and such, you know, community feel that they just really embraced us. And it was, you know, kind of really helped make our mind up, was that the people here are great.
In every community, you find that there's a lot of areas that, you know, need help or that sort of thing. So we're just going to kind of see where we're needed.
Yeah, it was a perfect match for Drew Brees to end up in New Orleans. We know, I told you, he signed in 2006. It was only in 2005, late 2005, that they were hit with Hurricane Katrina. And so just he helped turn things around. That's just what it is. And he gave the city something to look forward to, a needed and noteworthy distraction. Ultimately, I guess the biggest reward is when the Saints went out there and won that Super Bowl against the Indianapolis Colts about 5 years later after Katrina, about 4 years, you could say, in 2010, and not too long after he showed up. And for Drew Brees, who leaving San Diego was looked upon as being basically a ticking time bomb, his shoulder, when is it going to give out? When is it not going to work? This man basically lit up the record books on his way out of the league. Leader in passing yards and what have you, until Tom Brady just kept on playing over the past few seasons. And Drew Brees, that's why I said this man is not just a legend down in New Orleans. Drew Brees is a legend in Louisiana, someplace that he can always call home. And I give him and his wife and his family credit for fully embracing the city, one of the best cities in the country, and not just for the food. I know Zion would probably agree with that. You've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, today we have gone through a hell of a lot. And it's nice to have you back as well, man.
It is good to be back, and you're not getting action-packed. I mean, we got feuds left and right. We got expansion. We touched the gamut on, 12, 13, 14 different topics? It was very busy today.
Oh, even the injuries. Oh, don't you have to bring up expansion? The terrible thing that I hate so much in the playoff, like, come on.
Well, I couldn't be back here and not agitate you, so. You're sure? One more time, ruffle your feathers.
No problem. And then you'll be back with us again, when? On Monday we'll be here again together?
It is, yes, a brief return. I am off again tomorrow. It's been a little bit of a chaotic week. But then Monday, I am back for a while. No more days off for like another month.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. A day off is necessary here and there, right?
I mean, look, I got vacation days. I'm not going to have them just sit there and go to waste, you know?
You got them. Use them if you got them. I'll be here tomorrow. I can't wait to see what happens. Is Ryan Clark? I feel like this is the end of a novella. Is Ryan Clark going to respond to Tiki Barber? What nonsense does Aaron Rodgers get caught up in tomorrow? You know, what happens in some of the conference championship games? Is the college football playoff officially going to expand? What Major League Baseball player is going to come down with an injury? How many games is Kawhi Leonard going to play before he gets hurt again? Hopefully not. Injuries absolutely suck. And then who is going to move and shake in the NFL? What's going on in NFL free agency? I'm assuming there has to be a major move. I know one thing that I don't expect to happen. I don't expect anybody to trade for Justin Fields. Sorry, Justin Fields. It's just the nature of the beast. It doesn't look like anybody wants the man. Bears might have to trade him for a pack of gum. It stinks. Love to see him get another shot and opportunity elsewhere. It just doesn't look like it's going to be for the Bears. Thank you for tuning in to the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can find me all over the place. I'm on the internet. I'm online at JR Sport Brief. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I wish you well. I wish you nothing but safety and much love. Thank you so much to super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. If you missed a minute or a second of the show, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. It is done. Don't move. Coming up next is Bart Winkler. Thank you, Hickey. Y'all be safe. Be cool out there. Much love.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.